This module has been developed by the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. The following content for this module was taken from the book, A Basic Guide to Exporting, a product of the U.S. Commercial Service. This module was created in cooperation with the U.S. Commercial Service and the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. To view the full text version of each slide, click the Slide Notes tab in the upper left-hand corner below the MSU Cyber logo. You may pause the presentation at any time by pressing the pause button below the slide. The glossary for this module is accessible via the Glossary tab at the top right corner.
In this module, we will cover banks, credit and financing programs, public and private assistance options, and a success story titled Patton Electronics Company. Section 1. Banks.
The same commercial bank services used to finance domestic activities, including revolving lines of credit for working capital, are often sought to finance export sales until payment is received. Banks do not regularly extend financing solely on the basis of an individual order. They prefer to establish an ongoing business relationship. A logical first step, if you're seeking to finance short-term export sales, is to approach the local commercial bank that your company already does business with. If the bank previously has extended credit to your company, it will be familiar with your financial standing, credit need, repayment record, and ability to perform. The bank may be willing to raise the overall limit on an existing working capital line of credit to expand its scope to cover export transactions, or to approve a separate line specifically adapted to export-related transactions that involve arrangements such as discounting. Alternatively, you may wish to approach a commercial bank with an international department. Such a bank will be familiar with export business and will also be in a position to provide international banking services related to documentary collections and letters of credit, including the discounting of drafts. An intermediate approach is to retain a relationship with your bank, but seek a referral to a correspondent bank that has an international department. You should visit the bank's international department to discuss export plans, available banking facilities, and applicable charges. You may wish to inquire about such matters as fees for amending or confirming a letter of credit, fees for processing drafts, and the bank's experience in working with U.S. government agencies that offer export financing assistance. Generally, the bank's representative handling your account will not be located in the international department. It is in your best interest to create and foster a close working relationship with the international department. The responsibility for repaying a working capital loan ordinarily rests with you, the seller, even if the foreign buyer fails to pay. The bank takes this contingency into account in deciding on an export working capital line of credit. Both you and the bank will benefit, though, if you improve the quality of the export receivables by using letters of credit, credit insurance, or working capital guarantees from Ex-Im Bank or the U.S. Small Business Administration. When shipping capital goods, you may want the commercial bank to make medium-term loans directly to the foreign buyer to finance the sale. Such loans are available for well-established foreign buyers in more stable markets. But where there is an element of risk, the bank may require a standby letter of credit, recourse to the exporter in case of default, or similar repayment reinforcement. You should be knowledgeable about loans from your own bank that are backed by export-import bank guarantees and insurance, assuming that the commercial bank is willing to use them. A time draft under an irrevocable letter of credit confirmed by a U.S. bank presents relatively little risk of default, so you may be willing to hold such a draft until it matures. Unless you have ample funds to use for other purposes, however, holding drafts will use up your working capital. As another course of action, your bank may be willing to buy or lend against time drafts if you have a creditworthy foreign buyer who has accepted or agreed to pay at a specified future date. Such an arrangement allows you to convert the time draft into immediate cash. The amount that you receive will be less than the face value of the draft. The difference, called a discount, represents interest and fees that the bank charges for holding the draft until maturity. The bank may also require you to reimburse it if the draft is unpaid at the due date. In a third option, known as a banker's acceptance, a commercial bank may undertake to accept the obligation of paying a draft for a fee. Bankers' acceptances are usually in large denominations. Only a few well-known banks are accepted in the market as prime name banks for purposes of creating bankers' acceptances. The Export-Import Bank of the United States, or Ex-Im Bank for short, is an independent U.S. government agency that facilitates the export of U.S. goods and services. As the federal government's export credit agency, Ex-Im Bank provides export credit insurance, loan guarantees to lenders, direct loans to exporters on market-related credit terms, and loans to foreign buyers. Ex-Im Bank's insurance and loan guarantees are structured to encourage exporters and financial institutions to support U.S. exports by reducing the commercial and political risks of international trade that could result in non-payment to U.S. exporters by foreign buyers of their goods and services. The financing made available under Ex-Im Bank's guarantees and insurance is on market terms, and most of the commercial and political risks are borne by Ex-Im Bank. Ex-Im Bank's loan program is designed to neutralize interest rate subsidies offered by foreign governments. By responding with loan assistance, Ex-Im Bank enables U.S. financing to be competitive with that offered by foreign exporters.
Section 2. Credit and Financing Programs.
The Working Capital Guarantee enables lenders to provide the financing that an exporter needs to purchase or produce a product for export, as well as to finance short-term accounts receivable. If the exporter defaults on a loan guaranteed under this program, Ex-Im Bank reimburses the lender for the guaranteed portion, generally 90% of the loan, thereby reducing the lender's overall risk. For qualified loans to minority, women-owned, or rural businesses, Ex-Im Bank can increase its guarantee coverage to 100%. The Working Capital Guarantee can be used either to support ongoing export sales or to meet a temporary need for cash flow arising from a single export transaction. The Working Capital Guarantee offers generous advance rates so that exporters can increase their borrowing capacity. Those rates apply in the following categories: inventory, which offers up to a 75% advance rate, including work in process, meaning material that has been released due to manufacturing, engineering, design, or other services. Foreign accounts receivable, up to 90% advance rate. Guaranteed working capital loans are secured by export-related accounts receivable and inventory tied to an export order. For letters of credit issued under the guaranteed loan, Ex-Im Bank requires collateral for only 25% of the value of the letter of credit. Ex-Im Bank offers export credit insurance to offset the commercial and political risks that are sometimes associated with international trade. Under the majority of policies, the insurance protects an exporter's short-term credit extended for the sale of consumer goods, raw materials, commodities, spare parts, and other items for which payment is expected within 180 days. If the buyer fails to pay, Ex-Im Bank reimburses the exporter in accordance with the terms of the policy. The majority of payment terms are up to 180 days, with some transactions qualifying for terms up to 360 days. Ex-Im Bank Insurance is the largest federal program supporting short-term export credit. Ex-Im Bank insurance policies for exporters include the Small Business Policy, the Single Buyer Policy, and the Multi-Buyer Policy. With prior written approval, an exporter can assign the rights to any proceeds from an Ex-Im Bank insurance policy to a lender as collateral for financing. Ex-Im Bank's policies generally cover up to 100% of defaults caused by specified political risks, such as war and expropriation, and up to 98% of defaults arising from commercial risks, such as buyer default and insolvency. Exporters generally must meet U.S. content requirements and, under some policies, must ensure all eligible foreign sales. Several private companies also offer export credit insurance that covers political and commercial risks. Private insurance is available, often at competitive premium rates, to established exporters who have a proven history, although underwriting in particular markets may be limited. Under a separate program, called the Bank Buyer Credit Policy, Ex-Im Bank offers a guarantee to encourage banks and other lenders to make export loans to creditworthy foreign buyers of U.S. goods and services. Ex-Im Bank's guarantee supports either medium-term financing, which is 1 to 5 years for repayment after delivery or equipment installation, or long-term financing, which is up to 10 years for repayment. These types of financing apply for heavy equipment and capital projects, such as power plants, telecommunication systems, and transport facilities and equipment. As an alternative to guarantees, Ex-Im Bank also offers medium and long-term loans. Ex-Im Bank loans are made on the same terms and conditions as guarantees, with an important difference, namely, that the bank sets the interest rate in accordance with international agreements. In many cases, an Ex-Im Bank guarantee results in a cost that is lower than that of an Ex-Im Bank loan. For more information on Ex-Im Bank's programs, visit exim.gov or contact your local U.S. Commercial Service office. Several cities and states have funded and operate export financing programs, including pre-shipment and post-shipment working capital loans and guarantees, accounts receivable financing, and export insurance. To be eligible for these programs, an export sale must generally be made under a letter of credit or with credit insurance coverage. A certain percentage of state or local content may also be required. However, some programs may require only that certain facilities, such as a state or local port, be used. Although not an export finance program, matching grants from SBA's State Trade and Export Promotion Program may be available in your state. Grants may be used, for example, to participate in international trade events. To explore these and other options for financing, contact your local U.S. Commercial Service office or your state's Economic Development Agency. In addition to acting as export representatives, many export intermediaries, such as export trading companies and export management companies, can help finance export sales. Export intermediaries may provide short-term financing, or they may simply purchase the goods to be exported directly from the manufacturer, thus eliminating any risks to the manufacturer that are associated with the export transaction, as well as the need for financing. Foreign buyers often press exporters for longer payment periods. Although it is true that liberal financing is a means of enhancing export competitiveness, you need to carefully weigh the credit or financing that you extend to foreign customers. Moreover, the extension of credit by the seller to the buyer is more common outside the United States. U.S. sellers who are reluctant to extend credit may face the possibility of the loss of the sale to their competitors. A useful guide for determining the appropriate credit period is the normal commercial terms in your industry for internationally traded products. Buyers generally expect to receive the benefits of such terms. For off-the-shelf items like consumer goods, chemicals and other raw materials, agricultural commodities, and spare parts and components, normal commercial terms range from 30 to 180 days. You may have to make allowances for longer shipment times than are found in domestic trade because foreign buyers are often unwilling to have the credit period start before receiving the goods. Custom-made or high-value capital equipment may warrant longer repayment periods. Once credit terms are extended to a buyer, they tend to be a precedent for future sales, so you should review with special care any credit terms extended to first-time buyers. When exporting, your company should follow the same careful credit principles it follows for domestic customers. An important reason for controlling the credit period is the cost incurred through use of working capital or through interest and fees. If the buyer is not responsible for paying those costs, then you should factor them into the selling price. Your company should also recognize that longer credit periods may increase the risk of default. Thus, you must exercise judgment in balancing competitiveness against cost and safety. Customers are frequently charged interest on credit periods of a year or longer, but less frequently on short-term credit. Most exporters absorb interest charges for short-term credit unless the customer pays after the due date. Obtaining cash immediately is usually a high priority with exporters. Converting export receivables to cash at a discount with a bank is one way to do so. Another way is to expand working capital resources. A third approach, suitable when the purchase involves capital goods and the repayment period extends a year or longer, is to arrange for third-party financing. For example, a bank could make a loan directly to the buyer for the product, and you could be paid immediately from the loan proceeds while the bank waits for payment and earns interest. A fourth possibility, when financing is difficult to obtain, is to engage in countertrade. In a countertrade, you accept goods, services, or other instruments of trade in partial or whole payment for the product. Countertrade, therefore, provides the customer with an opportunity to generate earnings to pay for the purchase. Some options may require you to pay interest, fees, or other costs. Other options are more feasible for larger amounts. Your company should also determine whether it will incur financial liability should the buyer default. Export financing is often a key factor in a successful sale. Contract negotiation and closure are important, but ultimately your company must get paid. Exporters naturally want to get paid as quickly as possible, whereas importers usually prefer to delay payment until they have received or resold the goods. Because of the intense competition for export markets, being able to offer attractive payment terms is often necessary to make a sale. You should be aware of the many financing options open to you so that you choose the most acceptable one to both the buyer and your company. In many cases, government assistance and export financing for small and medium-sized businesses can increase your firm's options. The following factors are important to consider in making decisions about financing. The need for financing to make the sale. In some cases, favorable payment terms make a product more competitive. If the competition offers better terms and has a similar product, a sale can be lost. In other cases, the buyer may prefer buying from someone else, but might buy your product because of shorter or more secure credit terms. The length of time the product is being financed. The term of the loan required determines how long you will have to wait before you receive payment from the buyer and influences your choice of how to finance the transaction. The cost of different methods of financing. Interest rates and fees vary, and an exporter may expect to assume some or all of the financing costs. Before submitting a pro forma invoice to the buyer, you must understand how those costs affect price and profit. The risks associated with financing the transaction. The riskier the transaction, the harder and more costly it will be to finance. The political and economic stability of the buyer's country can also be an issue. To provide financing for either accounts receivable or the production or purchase of the product for sale, the lender may require the most secure methods of payment, a letter of credit, possibly confirmed, or export credit insurance, or a guarantee. The need for pre-shipment financing and for post-shipment working capital. Production for an unusually large order or for a surge of orders may present unexpected and severe strains on your working capital. Even during normal periods, inadequate working capital may curb an exporter's growth. However, assistance is available through the public and private sectors. For help in determining which financing options may be available or the most beneficial, you may consult the following sources: your banker, your local Department of Commerce Export Assistance Center, your local Small Business Administration Office, the Export-Import Bank in Washington, D.C. and selected cities, your State Export Promotion or Export Finance Office.
Section 3. Public and Private Assistance.
Several federal, state, and local government agencies offer programs to assist exporters with their financing needs. Some are guarantee programs that require the participation of an approved lender. Others provide loans and grants to the exporter or to a foreign government. Government programs generally aim to improve exporters' access to credit rather than to subsidize the cost at below market levels. With few exceptions, banks are allowed to charge market interest rates and fees, including those paid to the government agencies to cover the agency's administrative costs and default risks. Commercial banks use government guarantee and insurance programs to reduce the risk associated with loans to exporters. Multilateral development banks, or MDBs for short, are international financial institutions owned by member governments. Their individual and collective objective is to promote economic and social progress in their developing member countries. The MDBs consist of the African Development Bank, the Asian Development Bank, the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the Inter-American Development Bank, and the World Bank Group. They achieve their objective by providing loans, technical cooperation, grants, capital investment, and other types of assistance to governments, government agencies, and other entities in their developing member countries. The practical expression of MDB support usually takes the form of a project or study. Increasingly, the MDBs are providing funding to private sector entities for private projects in developing countries. A growing number of companies and project developers around the world are taking advantage of this funding, which is secured on the basis of the financial, economic, and social viability of the projects in question. The MDBs have traditionally been heavily involved in infrastructure and poverty alleviation projects. All the banks support projects in the following areas: agriculture, energy, environment, finance, industry, transportation, telecommunications, health, education, urban development, tourism, microenterprises, and the public sector, as well as other types of economic reform. All the banks provide some funding for private ventures too. The MDBs also provide debt, equity, and guarantee financing to eligible private ventures in developing countries. These funds, offered on commercial terms, can be accessed directly by private project sponsors and do not require a government guarantee. Many opportunities are available to U.S. companies and to increase U.S. business. For more information and for a list of MDBs, visit the website below. The Overseas Private Investment Corporation, or OPIC for short, is a federal agency that facilitates U.S. foreign direct investment in developing nations and emerging market economies. OPIC is an independent, financially self-supporting corporation that is fully owned by the U.S. government. OPIC encourages U.S. investment projects overseas by offering political risk insurance, all risk guarantees, and direct loans. OPIC political risk insurance protects U.S. investment ventures abroad against the risks of civil strife and other violence, expropriation, and inconvertibility of currency. In addition, OPIC can cover business income loss caused by political violence or expropriation. OPIC can offer up to $400 million in total project support for any one project, as well as $250 million in project financing and $250 million in political risk insurance. The amount of insurance and financing available to projects in the oil and gas sector with offshore hard currency revenues is $300 million per product and $400 million if the project receives a credit evaluation of investment grade or higher from major ratings agencies. However, the maximum support OPIC may offer an individual project is $400 million, either by combined or single OPIC products. U.S. exporters often can benefit from the construction and equipping of new facilities financed by OPIC, although the recipients of OPIC transactions are U.S. investors. U.S. exporters and contractors operating abroad can benefit directly from an OPIC program covering wrongful calling of bid, performance, advance payment, or other guarantees. Under another program, OPIC insures against expropriation of construction equipment temporarily located abroad, spare parts warehoused abroad, and some cross-border operating and capital loans. OPIC also provides services to facilitate wider participation by smaller U.S. businesses in overseas investment. They include investment missions, a computerized data bank, and investor information services. OPIC has undertaken several initiatives to increase its support for U.S. small businesses and their efforts to invest in emerging markets overseas. The Small and Medium Enterprise Department and OPIC's Small Business Center were established specifically to address the needs of small and medium-sized American companies and to ease their entry into new markets. A small business insurance wrap is offered to companies undertaking projects through the Small Business Center. A partnership with SBA enhances OPIC's outreach to the small business community. For more information on any of these programs, contact OPIC's Ilmfil line or visit their website at opic.gov. The U.S. Small Business Administration is another government agency that provides financial assistance to U.S. exporters. Through its partnership with national, regional, and community lenders, SBA provides loan guarantees for export working capital and acquisition of plant and equipment, as well as capital for enabling small businesses to commence or expand export activity.
SBA's Export Working Capital Program will provide a 90% guarantee to lenders on loans up to $5 million U.S. dollars. These loans provide working capital to fund the export transaction cycle from purchase order to collections. They can also support standby letters of credit used as bid or performance bonds. The loans can be set up to support individual transactions, multiple transactions, or as asset-based, revolving lines of credit. Interest rates are negotiated between the borrower and the lender and may be fixed or variable. SBA and Ex-Im Bank have the same application for their working capital programs. However, there are four main differences. 1. SBA can only finance small businesses. 2. SBA loans can only go as high as $5 million. 3. SBA can support military sales, unlike the Ex-Im Bank. And 4. SBA does not have a U.S. content requirement, unlike the Ex-Im Bank, and can provide financing as long as the exported items are shipped from the U.S. Turnaround is usually in 10 days or less. Under its International Trade Loan Program, SBA can guarantee loans up to $5 million for permanent working capital, facilities, and equipment, including land and buildings, renovation, improvement, or expansion of existing facilities, and purchase or reconditioning of machinery, equipment, and fixtures. Applicants must either certify that loan proceeds will enable them to expand existing export markets or develop new ones, or show that they have been adversely affected by import competition and need to retool or modernize operations, and that the loan will improve the borrower's competitive position. Export Express is a program that expedites multipurpose loans for small business exporters. The U.S. Small Business Administration delegates the authority to authorize lenders to unilaterally approve these SBA-guaranteed loans. The lenders can use their own forms and credit underwriting standards for similarly sized loans. SBA only checks eligibility and typically provides approvals within the 36 hours of submission. Export Express loans have a cap of $500,000. Loans of up to $350,000 receive a 90% SBA guarantee, and loans over that amount receive a 75% SBA guarantee. To be eligible, a business must have been in operation for at least 1 year and must show that it will increase export sales or begin exporting as a result of the loan. SBA's other eligibility requirements may also apply. Eligible use of proceeds include financing of export development activities, transaction-specific financing for export orders, revolving export lines of credit, fixed asset loans, and financing of standby letters of credit used as bid and performance bonds.
The EWCP, the International Trade Loan Program, and Export Express all require the participation of an eligible commercial bank. Most bankers are familiar with SBA's guarantee programs, but you should ask to speak to the SBA division of the lender you approach. In addition to these export-oriented programs, SBA offers a variety of other loan programs that may meet specific needs of small businesses. For example, SBA's Surety Bond Program may help small exporters obtain bid or performance bonds that are required on construction contracts and on many service and supply contracts. Bid and performance bonds may be required when a small U.S. company is bidding on a contract with a foreign government or with a foreign prime contractor. For information on SBA's programs, contact the nearest U.S. Commercial Service Office or SBA Field Office. Case Study: Patton Electronics Company. Patton Electronics is an electronics manufacturing company started by Bobby Patton and his younger brother in 1984 when they were computer science students at the University of Maryland. They began by selling small electronic widgets that would interface between dumb terminals and IBM mainframe computers. They now have about 1,000 products in their portfolio, and their biggest selling are in voice over IP. As the company grew, there was a need for sources of reliable buyers and of credit to expand production and to offer terms to new customers. In the IT business, some of the biggest buyers are foreign governments. For an outsider, it's difficult to understand procurement rules and to know whether they are applied fairly, especially if you are not located in the country whose government is doing the purchasing. Patton worked extensively with the Export-Import Bank of the United States, which has become a key component for the company in financing international receivables. He said, "Domestic banks are going to be a little bit nervous about whether or not they'll be able to collect on receivables that are coming from Sri Lanka or some other country in the world that they're not familiar with. Exim Bank provides some stability for the commercial banks in lending to organizations like mine." Patton also uses the U.S. Department of Commerce, notably when he's trying to penetrate new markets. He recently opened an office in Hungary, and he worked with the U.S. Commercial Service Office at the embassy to understand how best to open up the market in Eastern Europe, especially understanding opportunities in the Balkans, Croatia, Bosnia, and Serbia. Collection issues are not regular occurrences, but they do happen. Patton recalls a situation with a customer in Algeria, where the bank that was guaranteeing the debt of the customer was corrupt. The officers of that bank ran away with all the money and left Patton holding the bag. He went to the Department of Commerce, who contacted the U.S. ambassador. Patton recalled, "The ambassador went to bat for us in Algeria to try to recover that money, so that was a great benefit." Patton also had competitive deals in Morocco that looked like they were not so competitive and appeared to be wired for a particular vendor. Patton said, "We were able to exercise some U.S. commercial service consulting to have the U.S. ambassador there also talk to the Minister of Communications and let him know that the United States was very interested in this particular deal. Just knowing that other people were watching kept that on the up and up and made it possible for us to win some business in Morocco." When the company started, Patton immediately began to look for international buyers. He used a direct mail campaign and also attracted inquiries from his website. Then he got on an airplane and went to Europe to see some of the contacts, and while there he found others in local phone books and called them from his hotel. At that stage, exporting was a very small part of the business. Now, however, it has become about 75% of all revenue. Through persistence and planning, Patton now has thousands of resale channels in about 125 countries on nearly every continent. Devices are made in the United States and shipped around the world. As the business grew, Patton added staff outside of the United States, mostly in sales and technical support roles. He explained, "A big part of our go-to-market strategy is to be able to communicate with our customers in their language. So we have local language capability for technical support and for sales as well." Patton said he learned a lot about business, including the international side, from his dad, whom he calls a serial entrepreneur. Patton said, "He modeled a lot of things for us. My father has 10 children, so we had a big family. And we used to gather around the dinner table, and he would have business meetings at the dinner table, and a lot of us kids would be listening in. So it was just part of the culture growing up, conducting business at home and working with international reps and channels." Patton is also an ardent believer in the power of U.S. manufacturing as a powerful brand. He said, "I think the future for U.S. manufacturing is bright. We have a competitive advantage just because of our brand recognition, so there's a huge opportunity there. And the biggest thing that keeps people from entering into new markets and new spaces is fear. And it's mostly fear of the unknown. What I can say is that people are people everywhere I go, that it's really enjoyable to get to know people in other markets. They have families and kids too, and they're trying to make money, and they have a lot of the same motivations. And it's very easy to get along with people, once you start talking the language of commerce. A special thanks to the U.S. Commercial Service for the content of this module. This slide will take you to current news headlines on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You can advance through the remainder of the slides by clicking the play button. Global Edge offers a number of resources on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You can advance through the remainder of the module by clicking the play button.